Native American civilizations that were here. The First Nations, who have actually dubbed today Indigenous Peoples Day. So I think it's more appropriate to call it Indigenous Peoples Day. And Donovan, you want to tell us who we've just been listening to?
Yarena, which is...
Yarena, and tell us about them a little bit.
They're a group from Ecuador.
Yep.
Indigenous people from Ecuador.
Yeah, primarily an indigenous folks from Ecuador who are really good friends of ours there, based primarily in Boston. And we're going to set it off one more song there, and we'll be right back with you. It's a beautiful day here in sunny downtown Hudson. Hot, hot, hot. And you've been listening to Yarena. This is The Ag Show, your host Kieran Riley, in the studio with Donovan and Isaiah. And we'll be right back. That was the group Yarena from Ecuador, an indigenous group off the album Inspiration. That song was entitled Yaku, which means water, and we certainly have seen enough of our fair share of water this summer You're listening to The Ag Show. This is Kieran, and we are with Donovan and Isaiah today, and we are kind of breaking from the norm a little bit, breaking a little bit away from our normal headlines and local updates and what's going on out there in the world of farming. We had the rare opportunity. We're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day today, AKA, otherwise known as Columbus Day. And there's a lot about Columbus that also that we don't really know from the history books, and a lot about the history of Native Americans and Indigenous peoples' agriculture. So we're going to actually read. This is an article by John Paul Cortens, an old friend and really well-seasoned farmer from Kinderhook who runs Roxbury Farm up there. And he wrote an article called It's Not Just About the Vegetables out of the latest Biodynamics magazine. And he gives a little bit of a historical background of our area. And it's a very short little part of this article. I guess all three of us will share it with you. I'll start it off. It's called Historical Background. And he says, humans have always shaped the landscape they live in. In our pre-colonial time, the Native Americans lived in relative harmony with their environment. This did not mean that the land was left wild, however, as they were actively engaged in creating a landscape that was suitable to their lifestyle. Forests were highly managed by seasonal burning to create open spaces for wildlife, like deer, to feed. When Italian explorer Giovanni da Verrazzano, I love that name, sorry, I gotta say it again, Giovanni da Verrazzano, I guess that's what the Verrazzano Bridge is named after, okay, sidetrack, visited the Narragansett Bay in 1524, he found extensive open areas and forests that could be traversed easily, quote, even by a large army. Native Americans also had their own indigenous farming systems, as was well documented by the early settlers. Modern science has only recently caught up to the point of fully understanding the beneficial relationship between corn, beans, and squash, which I might add are also known as the three sisters, which go way, way back. We're going to talk a little more about that. Isaiah, you want to tell us about the early settlers?
Yes, I do. But the early settlers disregarded the Native Americans as lazy and unproductive. Over the course of a few hundred years, the virgin forest was cut down to make way for a more European type of agriculture, which was considered to be more productive. But the European-style agriculture was proved to be hard on the land. Much land was abandoned, and many farmers moved west in search of virgin and fertile land.
Another illustration of how the supply and demand for the supply and demand for food and non-food products has determined our land, our landscapes, and biodiversity is the boom and subsequent bust of crops and livestock. After the Great Depression of 1819, caused by the lower cost of wool out of the New Zealand and cotton out of India, sheep largely disappeared in the East Coast, allowing many pastures to revert back to the forest.
In the 20th century, many years of record wheat prices allowed farmers to take out loans for farm equipment. A depression followed, prompting farmers to put all of their land into wheat. The reasoning was that, with falling prices, equipment loans could only be paid by doubling the production. And a few dry summers led to disaster. And we have all heard, furthermore, of the Dust Bowl in the 1930s, which was a direct result of the wheat boom and bust. So as a direct result of U.S. policy and the consolidation of the food industry, farms became more specialized during the 20th century. Genetic diversity on farms greatly narrowed. Even as late as the middle of the century, dairy cows still had region-specific features. you could hypothetically bring me blindfolded to a region in the Netherlands, my native country, and I would be able to tell you the location by the breed of the animal. This all changed very dramatically, however, during the second half of the century as artificial insemination narrowed the selection to very few bulls. And these days you could visit a dairy farm in Russia, Saudi Arabia, California, or Germany and find cows with identical genomes with so-called, quote, superior qualities. So that's Jean-Paul Cortens writing about the historical background, going from the history of the Native Americans, where celebrating or not so celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, aka Columbus Day. And Donovan and Isaiah, tell us where the two of you are from.
We're from Amherst, Massachusetts.
Amherst, Mass. And there's one actual story, one story related to the Native Americans, but that's also an agricultural region. What do they grow up there?
They grow a lot of corn.
A lot of corn, just like down here. What else do they grow, D?
Tobacco. They grow a lot of tobacco.
A lot of tobacco. A lot of tobacco farming out there. That's actually extremely harmful to the soil. We're hoping they're keeping up with the rotations over there. I think probably the tobacco farms have decreased because of complete depletion of nutrients over there, but that's a whole nother story. So, so you guys are visiting for the weekend. Got a holiday today off school, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask also in relation to the Native American folks, Amherst, Mass, founded by the infamous Lord Jeffrey Amherst in the 1700s. You guys know about Lord Jeffrey Amherst, I'm assuming?
Yeah, we know a little bit about him.
A little bit about him. You want to tell us a little about him? What do you think that I'm relating to Native American history here? It's not a pretty history, but you guys know the story?
I know a little bit of it. How he, like...
All right, what happened, D?
He kind of killed them all off by giving them, like, smallpox because they're not, like, immune to it. And so they gave them blankets that were, like, covered in, like, disease, and they just gave each other disease and just kind of, like, died.
That's right. He, an act of trickery, the freezing cold, starving Indians who were already being displaced, Native Americans were given as a so-called act of goodwill, or so they thought, smallpox-infested blankets by Lord Jeffrey Amherst, the founder of these young men, the town that these young men reside in. And you have Amherst College, UMass Amherst, where I used to go, and... pretty brutal history. I think it's only fitting today in our ag show that we talk a little bit about the Native Americans as a respect on this Indigenous Peoples Day. And I'm going to read, I think we should read a little bit from Howard Zinn. Howard Zinn. You guys know him?
No.
No.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of him. You know what he does, who he is?
Mm-hmm. No. Writes books.
He wrote a bunch of books. Books about what primarily?
U.S. history.
History, yeah, he's a historian. So he writes in his first chapter, Columbus, the Indians, and Human Progress, he talks about the Native Americans being, quote, widely dispersed over the great landmass of the Americas. They numbered 15 or 20 million people by the time Columbus came. Responding to the different environments of soil and climate, they developed hundreds of different tribal cultures, perhaps 2,000 different languages. They perfected the art of agriculture and figured out how to grow maize, corn, which cannot grow by itself and must be planted, cultivated, fertilized, harvested, husked, shelled. They ingeniously developed a variety of other fruits and vegetables, as well as peanuts and chocolate and tobacco and rubber.
On their own, the Indians were engaged in the great agricultural revolution that other peoples in Asia, Europe, Africa were going through about the same time.
While many of the tribes remained nomadic hunters and food gatherers and wandering egalitarian communes, others began to live in more settled communities where there was more food, larger populations, and more divisions of labor among men and women. More surplus to feed chiefs and priests, more leisure time for artistic and social work, for building houses. About 1,000 years before Christ, while comparable constructions were going on in Egypt and Mesopotamia, the Zuni and Hopi Indians of what is now New Mexico had begun to build villages consisting of large terraced buildings nestled in among cliffs and mountains for protection from enemies, with hundreds of rooms in each village before the arrival of the European explorers. They were using irrigation canals, they were doing ceramics, weaving baskets, and making cloth out of cotton. So I'm sharing, thanks guys for helping that, this bit of history, just because we often forget about the Native Americans being a primarily agricultural civilization. These civilizations worked in very close connection with the earth. Of course, there wasn't too many permanent evidence of this, 2,000 years later, except in South America, there's a lot of evidence of the old irrigation canals and whatnot. But up here in, upstate New York, we tend to forget a little bit about the extent to which they were harvesting corn. And I just, side note, my dear friend, his name's Fidel, he's called here on the show before, mentioned the fact that they dug up a tomb. I think this was a Native American approved excavation. Most of it was grave robbing in the past couple hundred years, Europeans robbing the graves of Native Americans. And the chief had this clay pot buried with him, and apparently it was tradition, I believe, in the Iroquois nations to give a young man a clay pot full of seeds. And it was the three sisters that they found. It was corn, beans, and squash seeds in this little clay pot, and it was given to boys when they became men as a symbolic gift. And I believe they were buried at most times with this clay pot with the seeds in it. So anyways, they ended up carbon dating this corn because a lot of people didn't think that the upstate New York tribes were cultivating corn. Well, they carbon dated this stuff back, and it was over 10,000 years ago. So over 10,000 years ago, the Native Americans up here, the Iroquois nations, were cultivating corn. And it's not native to this area, and they did further research, of course. I think this is actually pretty widely known, that the corn came from Mexico. What do you guys think about that?
It's pretty interesting history.
Pretty interesting history. It is. That means that not only were they cultivating corn over 10,000 years ago, but they were also engaged with some sort of trade with Mexico. At that time, which I just find that absolutely fascinating, and I could just go on and on and on, but I encourage all of our listeners to find out more about the New York State Museum up in Albany. Donovan, remember that?
Yeah, we used to go up there a lot back when I was younger.
Yeah, and you want to tell them a little bit about the exhibits?
It was like, there's a lot of exhibits about natural history and like sculptures and stuffed animals. Well, not like stuffed animals, but I mean like stuffed real animals.
Right.
With like little caps. Yeah, like huge woolly mammoths and like
Wolverines.
Really interesting, awesome like animals and humans.
New York State Museum is a fantastic place. It has like, I don't know how many floors, and it's free.
Yeah,
it's right there in Albany at the Empire State Plaza. Take your kids if you got them, or rather, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just making you all aware of the New York State Museum. They have a fantastic Native American historical display. They got the longhouse up there that you can go in. You remember that one?
Yeah, that one's awesome. There's like throughout the longhouse, there's different like sections and like areas where like you could see how like they built the houses and like how they use the resources as to their advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gets into the agriculture a bit too, so you can kind of see how they were able to engage in agriculture without permanent depletion of their soils, massive amounts of erosion, major dependence on fossil fuels, and destruction of the environment in various ways. is something really, I think, in this day and age to be learned from it. And I think we need to turn the corner as a society and as an agricultural, you know, state, you know, agriculture being the number one industry in New York State, and find out ways that we can be a little bit lower impact. And there we have it. Another thing I want to talk about, and we'll get up. Well, I think we'll play a song now and then move on to the Occupy Albany event. And this does relate to agriculture in some ways, but it's especially exciting because the three of us with Cristiano were able to go up there yesterday to the Occupy Albany meeting, the third meeting up there. I just want to report a little bit about that. Any quick words you guys want to say about that? Isaiah, you ever been to a meeting like that before?
That was the first meeting like that I've ever been to, and it was pretty interesting how upset people were.
Yeah, people were getting pretty worked up about stuff, weren't they?
Yeah, there was like, there are people just leaving and yelling, and it was like everyone just throwing in so much ideas and so much facts like into like one circle, and it was just like, it was like a group effort on like trying to help solve the problems of the world, not just like one little problem, not just like certain like problems that we have like within our community, but like solving like world problems to help us save the earth.
Yeah, yeah, and the main focus was where and when to occupy, what to do, and they're really trying to do consensus building. That's actually a Native American tradition of consensus, building consensus and checks and balances, direct democracy, this idea of this democratic process of involving everybody in it and having everybody contribute through various methods. We'll get back to that. Right now I want to play a song. It's one of my favorites. I think I played it before here on the show, having to do with where we get our food from. You're listening to The Ag Show here on WGXC 90.7 Community Radio, hands-on, Hudson, Acre, Catskill. We are listener-supported, and we depend on your help, our listeners. You can always contribute. You can, we're streaming live, WGXC.org, or you can always give us a call and contribute or give us feedback. We love it. 518-828-0290. So give us a buzz if you'd like. This is Culture.
Come to justice, Mr. Sluggard. Need a chat to you.
Sit down lazy every day like your apartment. You think I saw?
Where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard? Tell me where you get your bread each day and night. So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard. Tell me where you get your bread each time. Have you ever worked a forklift? Hustling day and night on the wharf. Have you ever worked a taxi? Sleeping on the street side all night long to find some food. So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard. Tell me where you get your bread each time you lift your knife and fork. Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard. Tell me where you get your bread each time. To work in the radio station, it's not easy at all. Did you check out Sister Mary selling with her basket in Coronation Market? Don't you respect that hustling? Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard. Tell me where you get your bread each time you eat a belly full. And tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard. Tell me where.
make the uncured money higher. Nation to cook. I saw you all day long in the streets. Something on the sidewalk, you a look. So tell me where you, tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Slothard. Tell me where you get your bread each time you eat. Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Slugger. Tell me where you get your bread each time. You want the prettiest booty, the new jeans cannot pass. And as you see a pretty car on the wharf, about it you start to talk. Still have ambition though. Tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Slugger. Tell me where you get your bread each time. So tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Slugger. Tell me where you get your bread each time. Did you ever push a handcart full of farmers' goods, crossing the street between truck and cars, blowing 4 inches across death's face? Hear me when I say, so tell me where you get your bread. Whoa, yeah. It's hard on the street, my losses. Keep on watch yourself.
And that was Culture off the album One Stone. Mr. Sluggard, tell me where you get your bread, Mr. Sluggard, each time you take a bite. That's just dedicated to all the hardworking farm folk out there, picking, harvesting, digging, weeding, doing all the good stuff to get us our food. Much, much respect. So I'm sitting here, this is the Ag Show. We're sitting here in the studio with Donovan and Isaiah. Isaiah, we've been talking a little bit about the Native American history and agriculture. It's Indigenous Peoples Day, folks, a.k.a. Columbus Day. And we're also going to be talking a little bit more about the Occupy Albany movement. And we may go talk about other things as well. Apparently, you guys have some music you wanted to share. These are young whippersnappers. How old are you guys, by the way? I wanted to tell us.
Hold on
a sec. I think it's going to help a lot if I actually turn your microphone on. All right, Isaiah, what was that? How old are you guys?
I'm 16 years old.
And I'm 15.
16 and 15. So I can call you whippersnappers then.
Technically.
Young spring chickens.
Yeah.
You guys wanted to share some music. We're also on a music kick today, folks. I hope you don't mind breaking from the norm and not being so stringent in our agricultural programming here on WGXC. We like to mix it up a bit. What kind of music you guys talking here?
We're talking about dubstep.
Dubstep is a it's like an electronical. It's been around for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's been in the
US for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's growing and becoming more popular, and it's like electronic music that's like starts off kind of slow and then it has like a really big like drop, and uh-huh. It's like really awesome, and it just makes you feel amazing.
When I was your age, I was just getting turned on to the likes of KRS-One, and we might have to compete with KRS here. We might have to play some of him too. I don't know. Let's battle. I'd love to hear some. We'll get back to that, but back to the Occupy Albany movement. Isaiah, you were talking about how it was a pretty intense meeting. What else did you guys think about this this Occupy movement. You guys know what's going on down on Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
The encampment. What do you guys think about that method of organizing and what they're trying to do?
I think it's like it's amazing because with people like care so much about how like about the earth and about like problems that aren't being recognized and that like how people like care and like almost like just devote their life to like trying to help fix these problems is amazing. And like having people just come together and argue but not like argue fairly, like have a fair argument about what's going on and how and where it's going to happen and
argue fairly.
Yeah.
You feel that's what was going on over there, Isaiah?
Yeah, it was very democratic and everybody had an equal say. There was a lot of people with a lot of different like beliefs and views on the whole thing, but everybody got to express themselves.
Like
express yourself.
Like well, what he said when people has like different views. There was one guy who was like he was saying all these things that he believed in, and people are like, "Yeah, yeah, I believe in that too." And he'd be like, "I believe in this. Yeah, yeah, like I believe in that. We should end all wars. Yeah, yeah." And he was like,
"Right, the guy." He said, "Do we believe that the government's part of the problem? That the Wall Street bankers are part of the problem?" And everyone's like, "That's right." And he was like, ponytail, big tall guy, leather boots. He got everyone all fired up. He said, "Do you believe we should end all wars?" We said, "Yeah, yeah." So go on.
And then,
sorry, keep going.
And then after he like got everyone all riled up, he was like, "Now let me tell you who I represent." He's like, "I represent the Tea Party."
He was the Albany Tea Party guy. And everyone was like, But it was interesting, you know, Tea Party guy. So I like really feel like this is an opportunity for the entire 99% of the population that doesn't own the wealth to get together and really talk about these issues and organize in a very new, direct way that directly challenges the power structures that be. And these guys almost walked out. Do you guys think that we were about to walk out and take over the capital of New York State for a second?
Yeah, I was so ready to, like, let's go. Let's, you guys were like, we had me and Isaiah, we had our skateboards, and we were like, let's go skate over to the Capitol and, like, tell him his boss.
Let's ollie down the Capitol steps.
Yes, dude. Be insane.
Skateboarders' rights. You guys needed a sign that said,
like, skateboarding's not a crime, it's a sport.
There you go. Skateboarding's not a crime. Hey, there's room for everyone. And the reason, part of the reason why we're talking about this is that it's such a broad-based coalition and has the opportunity for so many people to access and have their grievances heard. This includes agriculture. We have major, major problems in the food and agricultural systems of our country. And one of that, of course, which I constantly am harping on, is the genetic modification issue. Right now, we have a march that's been undergone since October 1st. It ends on the 16th, and it's called the Right to Know March from New York City to Washington, D.C. And this is a group of people who are dedicated to the principle that we have a right to know which food that we buy in the convenience stores, for some, in the stores are genetically modified. Because right now there's no labeling laws that says you have to label it if it's genetically modified. And people really aren't down with that. I think they really don't want to be eating stuff that's genetically modified. They have no way of knowing unless they're really into it and do the research. And you know, most canola for example is like 99% GMO at this point because of contamination, cross-pollination and stuff. So we're going to be keeping an eye on the agricultural programming here on the Ag Show. This is your host Kieran Riley. I'm in the studio with
Donovan Riley
and
Isaiah Davis.
Thank you guys for coming in today. I think we're gonna get on to some dubstep, but before we hear the dubstep, I got to play some Howard Zinn. And don't worry, folks. It's not Howard Zinn singing or playing anything. He's rapping to the folks after the WTO in Seattle, the protests in Seattle in 1999. And he's talking about new methods of organizing. People say, how do we organize? What are new methods of organizing and extending solidarity? And he gives just a couple of words of wisdom. A couple of words of wisdom here, which I just had to share. I feel it's ultimately applicable to the occupation movement. So here's how it's done.
What kind of organizing gives me the most hope these days? Well, I think it's the kind of organizing that unites various groups around what I think may be the central issue for this next period in American history. There's a kind of organizing that took place in Seattle, in Washington, and in Prague, and which is international in scope, and which is based on an alliance among many, many different groups who have different agendas, whether it's feminism or environmentalism, or decent wage for low-paid people, health and care, and so on. What unites all of these people is the fact that none of these things are obtainable, none of the things that people need are obtainable unless we have a massive change in the way the resources of the society are distributed, in the economic system, and so any kind of organizing that is aimed at that very fundamental thing, that kind of radical thing, redistribution of wealth, tearing away more and more at the system that is based on corporate profit, and trying to build a society more and more based on human need. That kind of multi-group and international organizing, it seems to me, is the most important. She's asking me, the people who are well off and educated and so on, what can they do? And then she says, but I don't really expect you to know the answer to that question. And you're right. I don't know the answer to that question. Well, no, I'm joking, of course. What can we do? We do what everybody else does. The fact that we may be well off and educated should not get in the way of whatever we want to do. We should join with people who are not so well off and not so well educated, but who may be more intelligent. And join with all these people in the movements for social change. That's all I can say.
And that was Howard Zinn, Breaking It Down. I just thought that was so applicable, what's going on. I think he's right. Howard Zinn, rest in peace. Good friend of my family, as a matter of fact, I'm very proud to say. He actually signed my conscientious objector. I'm in the big, huge book over at the Peace Abbey. When I was 18, on my 18th birthday, I signed in the book, CO, conscientious objector to war, that is, and he was my witness. So anyways, folks, we're talking about Occupy Albany, hitting the streets, revolution in food and agriculture, and all kinds of skateboarding, right? Yeah. Revolution in skateboarding, boys, right?
Yeah.
You guys picked up a bumper sticker, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We got a bumper sticker. We're actually going to put it on our snowboards, but...
Oh, okay, snowboards.
It's a bumper sticker that says Tax the Rich in big red letters.
Tax the Rich. And Isaiah, tell them about the other sticker we saw with that lady that actually kind of outdid that bumper sticker.
Oh, yeah, the other sticker said Eat the Rich.
Yeah.
Eat the Rich
in the
big
same
red
the
letters.
Same font.
Yeah, that was kind of funny because I think... Yeah, cannibalism, that was kind of sketchy, but still funny. Anyways, okay, moving on. We're also talking about new music. What was the name of it again?
Dubstep.
Dubstep. I've heard dubstep before, but I want to share it with you all since we have Donovan and Isaiah with us here in the studio, and they're so sophisticated they're even going to do this computer situation here, and we're gonna play a little bit of dubstep for ya. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Go for it. Dubstep, folks, brand new to the United States. This is the new thing.
Is it playing? Is it plugged in?
Well, the technology. We'll be right back. dubstep, ladies and gentlemen. New electronica. So is that that's the deal these days, huh, guys?
Yeah, we've been listening to a lot, searching a lot of new artists and songs. That's just one of the most popular ones that we know of. That's one of our favorites.
Pretty cool. I think, yeah, I like it.
Really hard drop.
Gets you pumped up.
As your father, I should be saying, now you turn that mayhem down, son. But I think it's good mayhem. It might go well with what we're talking about here today. So it's Indigenous Peoples Day today, folks. And we're talking a little bit about Native American history and agriculture. And we're talking about the Occupy Albany movement as well. And what else? What else is shaking out there? What else did you guys want to talk about?
The weather.
The weather's beautiful.
It's been really nice out.
What about this spring? Recreational activities this spring. Wouldn't you want to say something to Isaiah live on the air, Donovan?
Yeah, Isaiah better be playing lacrosse this year.
You want to get him to play lacrosse?
I'm not sure about that.
No, you're playing.
Isaiah's baseball. A baseball player.
I don't know.
How long have you been playing baseball, Isaiah?
About 5 years.
How long have you liked playing baseball, Isaiah?
About 2 years.
How long are you going to continue playing baseball, Isaiah?
I'm not sure. Until I find something better to do.
Like lacrosse.
Maybe track.
No.
Track might be better.
No, it won't.
The lobby is heavy. Wow, peer pressure. Donovan, tell us a little bit about the history of lacrosse. Where'd it come from?
Well, it started with the Iroquois Nation. They started playing lacrosse as, like, to get ready for, like, a war, to, like, settle a disagreement. They'd have a lacrosse game, or it's also called the little brother of war. That's what it means.
It means the little brother to war. And it was more to avoid war, right?
Not
necessarily to prepare.
Yeah, well, both.
You said it. You said to settle disagreements.
Yeah.
It's called the little brother to war, settle disagreements.
Lacrosse comes, it's like the French renamed it from the natives. The French came and renamed it as lacrosse, which means the cross, which is like the stick.
The stick, yeah.
That's how they came and renamed it. But it was originally Native Americans, and the French in Canada, they came and they were like, we want this too, and they started playing it. And so now it's just a great sport that has been started, and now a lot of people like play it for spiritual things, and like I was watching this thing about the Onondaga reservation.
Mm-hmm.
These kids would be
Let me just interrupt. The Onondaga, I believe, is one of the Iroquois nation, one of the tribes that belongs to the Iroquois nation. Iroquois is the term applied to a number of nations, the Onondaga being one of them.
Yep, and they're born with a little mini lacrosse stick in their hand, and they die with a lacrosse stick in their hand. They just, like, live and breathe lacrosse.
That's right. And he's not speaking metaphorically. Are you saying they don't come into the world with a lacrosse stick in their hand? They're given one.
Like as a present for birth and a gift for death.
As a birthday present on the day they're born, they're given a little lacrosse stick. I bet you can relate to that, huh?
Yeah, and kids will just like have it. I just play it for spiritual reasons, and like there's the on OCC, the Onondaga Community College. They have a pretty insane lacrosse team.
For all you that don't know out there, insane meaning really, really good. Or nasty players up there, meaning really, really good. Or sick players.
Or dirty.
What's that? Are there?
Dirty.
Dirty.
Filthy.
Dirty also meaning really, really good. Okay. All right. Well, rock and roll. There's actually another song that I wanted to play. Back to the Occupy Albany movement. I just wanted to mention, we were in the on the Grand Street Community Center there. What an impressive building. Kind of run down, a really run down street there.
Yeah.
A lot of violence. There's a woman who's part of the anti-gun violence program up there. And she talked about a little bit about supporting this occupation. She's actually a councilwoman, part of a group called SNUG. Her name is Barbara Smith. She gave some. We're going to be talking more about this. WGXC has been airing a lot about the Occupy Albany movement. And Phil Grant's actually sick today, so we didn't get to get into it so much this morning. But I will be airing clips from this meeting, and we'll be getting into it more. This morning was we were getting into it about the New York Wall Street occupation. There was a sign there. This is what I found interesting. It said, corporations don't just profit from U.S. war policy. They drive it. And it's just, you know, this is a... It's pretty exciting what's happening up there. And, well, anyhow, we should leave it to the people who articulate things a little better than me, at least in my humble opinion. And I just wanted to play another song. We're talking about Monsanto a lot on this show. We're talking about mega corporations basically taking over the agricultural industry and basically destroying the earth, destroying human rights, destroying the quality of our food supply. And, you know, the Occupy Albany movement directly confronts this idea of the corporation and corporate greed, profit-driven economy kind of really messing things up in all areas of our lives. So I wanted to, in light of that, play some Public Enemy, little P.E. Let Chuck D. break it down. If you listen carefully, he talks about the corporations in the ghetto, too, robbing all the profits from the ghetto and then taking it out of the ghetto, not putting it back in. And this song, I guess, who should we dedicate it to? I want to dedicate it to Monsanto. Who else should we dedicate this song to? Any corporation you guys have out there? It's called Shut 'Em Down.
Walmart.
Ooh. Okay. Fighting words from Donovan over there. Some anti-Walmart sentiment, perhaps. Okay, this is Shut 'Em Down.
I'm waiting for respect.
rec check. One hit the deck, let the man of the hour commit the soul power. For once I got to say, shut him down on a regular, causing mass hysteria in your area. Kicking it for my man Chuck D. Della P.E. on the remix, hun, hold the flick, so check it. Before I step down when I'm in your town, you know I got to shut him down.
Shut him down, dedicated to Monsanto.
You got me so wild.
Stop.
How can I ever deny?
Heck show.
You got me so high.
Guys, I wish we had more time because I could actually play this for a while to talk about it. Well, we're out of time here. It's Kieran Riley on the Ag Show Mondays, first second Monday of the month, 2 to 3 p.m. I'm in the show. I'm in the studio with Donovan and Isaiah. We're listening to Dubstep, talking about the Albany occupation, talking about Native American history on Indigenous Peoples Day. 4 to 6 p.m., we're going to have a special also on so-called Columbus Day in honor of the Native American peoples. And guys, got a couple more words. You want to do a quick shout out to Donovan? I know you want to do a shout out.
Quick shout out to my girlfriend Haley.
To your girlfriend Haley, big shout out. Isaiah, anybody?
Shout out to my family back in Amherst.
Shout out to the fam back in Amherst. Okay, thank you guys for joining us today. This is really exciting. We totally went renegade today on the Ag Show. I think that's okay. There's no phone calls coming in yet. Nobody yelling and screaming at me. So here we go. We're signing out. Enjoy the rest of your beautiful afternoon here. 74 degrees here in Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7. Listener supported. Hands-on community radio. Acre Catskill. Hudson. Signing off.
Muevele Stephanie. Je m'appelle Stephanie. My name is Stephanie. Mwele Stéphanie. Mwele Radio WGSC 90.7 FM Eka.